Hello, and welcome to Yikes.
That's amazing.
I'm your host, Pearl, and I tell stories that are creepy, crazy, and that keep you on the edge of your seat.
And I'm your host, Nathan, and I tell stories of positivity, inspiration, and determination.
We are best friends.
We're roommates, and we're here to tell you some cool stories.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Welcome
there.
To episode 16.
Ooh.
Wow, it's our 16th birthday.
I know, right?
It's all like, about you, Pearl.
Oh, my God. We're going to, like, get our license.
On your 16th birthday.
It's all about you, girl. Yeah.
On your mom's birthday.
On your mom's birthday.
Yeah. 16 episodes. Cool.
Very exciting. I know. Who'd have thunk we would get this far? Just kidding. I did.
Living, laughing, and loving.
Living, laughing, loving life. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun so far. So, yeah. We've got some more fun facts. We've got some more fun stories. We've got some more crazy stories. But obviously, if you're here, you know that. And... yeah, we're going to get right into it.
Why don't you start us off with
I'll
fun
start
fact.
With some fun facts. Okay, let's go back and forth. How many do you have this time?
I have two.
You have two? Okay, I have three. So I'll start. Yes. My first one just literally bothers me so much. The plural of cul-de-sac is
Coles-de-sac.
Like,
yeah.
Isn't that the worst thing you've ever heard in your
like
life?
It.
No.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like it.
It would be cul-de-sacs. No, that doesn't sound any better.
Yeah.
That sounds worse. Cul-de-sac.
Cul-de-sac sounds more sophisticated. Much more than a cul-de-sac is.
Well, yeah, exactly. I grew up in a cul-de-sac. I know that ain't, there ain't no so sophistication.
There ain't no sophistication.
There ain't no sophistication
no,
there.
No, we respect a cul-de-sac.
I like
we
it. Me a
majorly
nice cul-de-sac.
Respect.
We respect.
I have turned around in so many of them.
Good job. I'm proud of you. That's really good for you. Congratulations.
Okay, my turn.
Okay, your turn.
The inventors of Pringles requested that some of his ashes be buried in a Pringles can.
I don't like that either.
So his kids picked, they picked one up on the way to the funeral home.
They
I kind of like it. I think it's funny.
Was
I'm
it
like,
original?
Go off, King. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
They
fair
were
enough,
like,
fair enough.
Saying that they were joking about choosing a different flavor, but then they were like,
they
no,
end up
we
doing
gotta
like
go with
pizza
original.
Or something.
Oh my God.
Like the
that
worst
would be
flavored
so
Pringle.
Insulting.
Yeah. They would only do that if they hated their grandfather. But
yeah.
It sounds like they had some respect for him. I don't know how...
I think it was his children, not his grandchildren. But
oh,
maybe the grandchildren were there too. I don't know.
Could be. I don't know why. I just
maybe
heard...
it was a whole family event.
I mean, yeah, that's... typically funerals tend to be that way.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like picking up the Pringles can.
Yeah,
what
yeah,
do you
no,
think?
No.
The whole entire family came?
I mean, maybe.
Maybe
they might
the
be really close.
Okay. Calm down. What's your next fact?
Okay, my next fact is, oh, this one, actually, I was, like, scrolling through a website of fun facts, and I just thought that this was adorable. being compassionate to others as well as oneself leads to greater happiness.
It does.
It does.
It does, period.
And I love that, and that's so cute.
And
so
it's true.
Just remember
and
to be
it's
kind
relevant,
to yourself.
And I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Remember to be kind to yourself and be kind to because you will have greater happiness if you do.
And you might also have greater happiness if you and your sister find a corn chip in the shape of Illinois that you then sell on eBay for almost $1,400.
Wait, is that your next fact?
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a great segue. I
Thank
was like,
you.
Are you saying you and Tess did this? Because I have not
yeah,
heard this
me
story.
Yeah, me and Tess found an Illinois corn chip.
That is that was such an astounding segue, but that was perfect. I love
astounding.
That.
Astounding. Thank you. I feel so cool. yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
Wait, how much did you say it sold for?
Almost $1,400.
Wow. Dang. I want to find a chip
I'm
that I
like,
could sell for $1,400.
I've heard all... That might have to be a weird rabbit hole I go down because I've heard of people finding weird shape like Cheetos and stuff like
yeah.
that and then... selling it for like a lot of money and I'm like who the
Who's
fuck
buying
is
this?
Buying an Illinois corn chip.
Yeah, of all the states, Illinois. Sorry if you're listening from Illinois, and I really don't know that much about Illinois, but of all the states, Illinois. I don't know.
I mean, Chicago.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, so that's my last fun fact.
Okay, my last fun fact is moons can have moons, and they're called moon moons.
No! Did you verify?
I did. Okay. They're also called sub-satellites or sub-moons, but they're also called moon moons. That is verified.
Oh my god, isn't there a meme about that?
I feel moon. Oh, wait, isn't that the wolf? That's like,
oh my
like 2010
god.
Memes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Meme culture deep cut right there.
Literally. That's a core memory right there.
Wow, I can't believe I just remembered that. And I'm thankful.
Yeah, thankful for Moon Moon.
Thankful for Moon
Moon. We're all thankful for Moon Moon. I was giggling a lot when I found that, and I thought it was hilarious. Because just moon moons.
Yeah, that is hilarious.
Because someone decided to be super creative with it and name it Moon Moon. Yeah.
I fuck with it.
I do too.
It's simple. It's understated.
Yeah. She's simple. She's quirky.
Sophisticated.
She's sophisticated. Like a Kohl's Desac.
I was going to say.
Moon Moon is a sophisticated girl, like a Kohl's Desac. A Kohl's Desac. I'm like
gorgeous,
talking
gorgeous
about the plural
moon
of
moons.
It, and I'm like, a Kohl's Desac. Gorgeous,
gorgeous,
gorgeous Moon Moon.
Kohl's Desac.
Gorgeous, gorgeous Kohl's Desacs. No, Kohl's Desac. No.
Sorry. Yeah, Kohl's Desac.
Yeah, Kohl's Desac, not Kohl's Desacs.
Don't challenge me. Anyway.
I won't hesitate.
Oh, God.
Okay, that was
it's not
a little
corona,
bit
I promise.
Dramatic.
No one has ever told me that before.
You've never been called ultra dramatic.
As I flick my hair off my shoulder. Anyway, all I was going to say is I'm going to get into my story. But before I do, I just want to remind you guys that it's our favorite thing ever when you give us a 5-star review.
Yes,
it
is.
It pops our... Never mind. Nope, I'm not going to say that. Censoring it a little bit. Anyway, we would really love that. and it's super easy. All you have to do is go on to the Spotify homepage of our podcast, and you can quickly just tap 5 stars. Or Apple Podcasts.
Oh, I was going to say, if you've listened to 30 seconds at least, obviously.
If
but
you're
now, if
listening
you have,
to this right now, you've
you
listened
can just,
to 30 seconds.
Yeah, you can just beep boop it right on the thing.
Yeah.
That was super
unless
specific.
Unless you already did 30 seconds in because you were just so excited.
Exactly.
And enthralled
you
by
might
our
have,
juicy
and
content.
And we appreciate it very much so.
You heard about the corn chip and you were like, hell yeah.
You were like, this is the kind of content that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Anyway, and on Apple Podcasts, you can even type up
a little
summary.
Yeah.
Say a couple kind words. Yeah. Anyway.
You can say mean words, but we'd appreciate
it
if they were nice. Like remember, kindness leads to happiness.
Happiness leads to... Anyway.
So basically, if you want to be happy, you should say some kind words about us in a review.
Yeah. Spread kindness.
Spread kindness. All right. Let's get into
me.
It.
Okay. Anyway, I'm going to get started. This is the
if
death.
You say... Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say this is going to be like the most fucked up story.
Oh,
that I've
no.
Ever
this
said.
Is
like,
a very
like
fucked
say
up
that
story.
Every week.
This is just outstandingly ridiculous. This police department needs to all be given the like worst wedgie of their lives. And a lot worse. But I'm just saying, let's start with a
bad wedgie can...
Oh, trust me.
Oh, yeah, your siblings were pretty hard on the wedgie game.
My siblings gave me some nightmarish wedgies. Honestly, I feel like that was their
primary
form. You're
like bringing up
form.
Your own trauma.
Yeah. Just start off with a little bit of my trauma.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not about my trauma. This is yet another story of a black woman completely wronged by her community. Well, not her community, but the police department in her community that was supposed to, bring justice.
Yeah. My story's in the same vein, but obviously mine has a little bit more of positivity than I know yours will have.
Yeah. On the morning of November 4th, 2018, just before 9 a.m., police in Cumming, Forsyth County, Georgia, get a call from a couple saying that they found their friend unconscious in the yard. The boyfriend of the homeowner, Gene Myers, his name is Jose Barrera. Sorry. He said, "She's not moving one bit. She's not breathing. She's completely face down in the yard. She's stiff." And Jean herself says, I don't know if it's Jean or Jean. I think it's Jean.
Uh-huh.
She says she was drinking and it looks like, I guess maybe she fell off the balcony. Okay, so we're going to rewind a little bit.
Yeah.
The previous night.
Something tells me there's a little more to the story than that.
Yeah, there's a lot more to this story. The previous night, Saturday, November 3rd, 40-year-old Tamla Horsford had made and served dinner to her husband Leander and their 5 young sons. She was also the stepmother to Leander's adult daughter that was expecting a baby at this time. So she made dinner for her family before excitedly heading off to celebrate her friend Jean's birthday with a sleepover. And it was a bunch of other moms that had all mostly met through their boys' football league, like the local, you know, their kids' sports.
Oh, cute mommy sleepover.
Yeah. So, when she got there, she changed into a onesie. It was a white onesie with gray paw prints all over it.
Cute.
Adorbs. I love a sleepover vibe.
Right?
Sounds fun. I do want to start off and mention that she was the only black woman there, and that will
come into play
pretty quickly. It was supposed to be just women, but Jean's boyfriend, Jose, was there, and another woman's husband, Tom Smith, was also at the house. The women were upstairs drinking and watching a college football game while the men watched football in the basement. Tamla was allegedly the only regular smoker at this party, so she would be occasionally stepping outside onto the balcony to smoke a cigarette. And she apparently also was smoking weed that night, but Jean asked her to stop. And according to Rolling Stone, Jean was joking with Tamla during this interaction and called her the female Bob Marley. Which I'm like, I don't know if that's true, but that's a fucking weird thing to say.
That's a very weird thing to say.
So Jean said also that her boyfriend was a pre-trial officer and didn't approve of her smoking weed, which is completely reasonable.
I get that. Fair enough.
So after a while, Jose and Tom joined the rest of the group to drink and play Cards Against Humanity. Also classic. There were snaps of Tamla taken at this time where she looks like she's enjoying herself, smiling, laughing, having a good time, which she brought tequila, so hard not to have a good time when you're drinking tequila.
I want to see a bunch of 40-year-olds getting drunk and playing Cards Against Humanity.
In their PJs?
In their PJs, yeah. And yeah. One of them's just like, high.
Right? Sounds fun. Yeah, so around 11:30... those that didn't plan on spending the night began to leave, and the rest all went off to sleep over the next couple of hours. Jose and Jean went to sleep around 1:30, and another guest, who I think was the last person to leave, but there is a lot of contradictory information. Anyway, I think this person was the last guest to leave, but they saw Tamla in the kitchen at 1:47 a.m. eating a bowl of gumbo, which, again, vibes. You've just been partying all night, and you're like, I'm just going to have some gumbo.
You
know, drunchies. We've all been
there. Oh, yeah.
So she tells this guest that she's just going to finish her gumbo, go outside, smoke a cigarette, and then go to bed. So this woman was then picked up by her husband, and at this time, the security system for the home picked up the back door opening, closing, and then opening again for the last time at 1:57 a.m., so 10 minutes later.
Wait, opening again but not closing again?
Yeah.
Oh,
so I think the first two were the lady leaving, opening the door to leave, close,
yeah,
and then Tamla going outside to smoke her cigarette.
Oh,
but
I
the
see.
Door
yeah.
didn't
Never.
Close after that.
Okay.
So now we are back to where we started. It's around 8:45 a.m. when Jean's aunt, that also lives at the home, is getting up to get her morning started and make a cup of coffee when she looks out the window onto the lawn and sees something she recognizes, Tamala's paw print onesie. Now, instead of going out to check on her or investigating any further to see if she needed to, I don't know,
have
call an ambulance
or
anything, she goes up to find her niece. She goes upstairs to find her niece.
She assumes she's just like passed out in the yard because they had a crazy night or something.
And then like I saw in a couple sources, it was kind of saying that she like waited. Like, she wasn't being urgent about needing to get her niece's attention. It was like, oh, I'll just wait until she's, like, out of the bathroom or whatever.
She's just taking a nap in the yard.
And it's like, bro, why the hell would she be laying in the yard face down?
At, like, 8:30 a.m.
And she also referred to Tamala as Jean's, quote, friend from the islands.
Wait,
because she...
What is it with these people?
Yeah. And, like...
Wait, what's
she was an immigrant. What? They're in Georgia.
Okay, that makes sense.
Unfortunately, yeah. And I will go into that a little bit more. Anyway, I just wanted to note that. I was like, girly, you could have gone outside and like checked on her or
yeah,
seems
or
really
anything.
Weird. So, anyway, Jean and Jose call the police. And when they called, they said that she was face down with both of her arms at her sides. Straight down. Jose also mentioned that she had a small cut on her wrist and that maybe it was self-inflicted. And then remember what they said earlier. She's not breathing. She was drinking. She probably fell.
Oh,
so these
that's
are the
right.
Things
they said
they're saying
that they
the
thought
phone.
She like fell off the deck or something.
Yeah. So when authorities arrive on the scene, her arm was bent at a 40-degree angle, which contradicts what they said on the phone.
Yeah.
Jean seemed pretty adamant later on that she remembers seeing her arm straight down. So it wasn't known. It's not known if like someone moved her after the police were called or what, like if someone was checking her pulse.
Okay.
But
I mean,
regardless,
yeah.
It's like, these are sketchy circumstances. If you say she's not breathing, you probably should leave it alone. I don't know. It just
or like
seems
you would assume
sketchy.
That they would have checked for that stuff before they called the police and like
yeah,
weren't
it was
checking
very unclear
after.
What they did before and what they did after they called the police.
Weird.
So just kind of sketchy. She was pronounced dead and her body was sent to be autopsied. They interviewed everyone that was at the party and basically everyone was in agreement that moods were light that evening and that other than the disappointment that their football team lost the game, everyone was happy. Some even described Tamala as being the life of the party. Before autopsy results were back, the general theory and basically what they were already saying it was, even though they didn't know, was that it was an accident. And that she fell from a second-story balcony.
Uh-huh.
There was an unsmoked cigarette and a lighter up there, so it's kind of like she didn't even have the chance to light the cigarette before something happened.
Before she supposedly just fell off the deck.
So the initial autopsy pointed to multiple blunt force injuries, quote, THC present in her blood and a high blood alcohol level near 3 times the legal limit.
Woo!
Which is a lot.
They had fun that night. Yeah.
The family was skeptical, though, and ordered for another autopsy, which was carried out by the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. This one showed that Tamala had sustained multiple hemorrhages to the brain and skull. She had a broken neck, and her torso was severely injured. She had cuts on her hands, wrists, face, and legs, and laceration to the right ventricle of her heart, which pumps blood. That is the thing that pumps blood to your lungs.
Uh-huh.
She was also found to have a tiny amount of Xanax in her system, which was
interesting.
If people weren't already suspicious of her death, this autopsy definitely increased that.
So none of that happened to come up in the first autopsy?
That was also confusing, but I think it sounds like more like the second autopsy was like a lot more stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And there's even more sketchy stuff that I will go into.
Alrighty.
But yeah, so it's weird because she was found to have a high blood alcohol content, but by all accounts from interviews and from photos and videos taken, she was in control of herself and of her body.
Like, didn't seem to the point of 3 times the legal limit.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's very confusing because these people, I really don't trust any of them.
I mean, and this sounds similar to the story that you were telling last week where you were talking about, like, when her brother saw her, he was like, she wasn't, like, fucked up or anything, like the guy was saying.
The only... It sucks because the only account we have is from all those guests that were there that are all potential suspects.
Yeah.
And no one that's like, really no one that we know is on her side. Like no one in her family, no one that would have seen her that night to verify the way she was acting.
Yeah.
Because all of these people, yeah, I don't know. Sketchy. So, also, the balcony railing was almost 4 feet high, which is just, like,
seems
you don't
very difficult
fall
to just
over
like fall
something
off.
Like that. Like, even if you're fucked up, you're, like, super drunk, and, like, even if you're, like, blacked out, like, I don't think that that's something that you would just easily
That sounds like something
over.
You'd have to, like, actually, like, climb over.
And she was going out onto that balcony all throughout the night. Like, she was familiar with it. It's not like she was just wandering around, like... I don't know. It just seems unlikely.
Yeah.
And also, most of these people had just gone to sleep. So I'm like, no one heard anything. Nobody heard any like body crashing from, I don't know.
Yeah.
No one. I don't know. I don't know. So in February of 2019, the case was officially ruled as an accident and closed. During high tensions after the murder of George Floyd in 2020, Tamla's case received renewed interest, and the family attorney filed to have it reopened. He said that his team's investigation strongly pointed towards homicide/foul play, and her injuries were also consistent with that of a struggle. She had defensive wounds on her body. There was also a shocking lack of photo evidence taken by the medical examiner. He barely took any photos of her body.
Weird.
Which is just super weird. And he said that this having the fact that there were this few photos made him think that that had been done under the order of someone, because that's not procedure.
Yeah.
He also stated that the crime scene had not been preserved. Potential evidence was contaminated or not, you know, collected.
Like, properly collected.
And witnesses weren't interviewed with haste. They were kind of like, it was kind of like a leisurely...
Like, hey, if you want to, like, stop by
again,
the police department sometime.
Again,
kind of
like in the Lauren Smith Field thing. Like, they were just cool with that guy because he was, like, white.
Yeah.
You know? And on that note, I want to note here that Forsyth County has a very racist history. And I mean, I don't want to sound any certain way when I say this, but it is Georgia.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a lot of history there.
Yes.
This is also going to sound very familiar because this is literally almost identical to the Rosewood Massacre that we talked about a couple weeks ago. But these kinds of things happened a lot to the black communities back in like the early days when you know, people had just been freed from being slaves.
Yeah, like the like mid to late
1800s. It was like, oh, you want to be free? Cool. Well, I'm going to burn down everything you have in life. So yeah, in 1912, after a black man was blamed for the rape of a white woman, everyone's homes and businesses were basically burnt down. And nearly the entire black population was run out. And there were many deaths of black people.
Isn't that like the exact
it's
same
literally
thing
the
that
exact
happened
same thing.
In the Rosewood Massacre? Yeah.
Yeah. Which, again, that there's unfortunately you can find
an unfortunately
a story
large
like
amount
that,
of cases of that.
Or, yeah. You can find way too many.
So fucked up.
So it remained mostly white for a very long time, and it still has literally less than 5% black population.
Jeez.
Yeah. So, in recent years, many officers in the Forsyth County police system have been fired for misconduct and just racism, generally nasty behavior. Sheriff Ron Freeman himself, who was sheriff at the time of Tamala's death, has been accused of racism, misconduct, and nepotism. In 2014, Chris Shelton, a local police officer, was forced to resign after he posted pictures of himself to Facebook posing with racist dolls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Classic.
And then after this, he supported Ron Freeman's campaign for sheriff in 2016. And when Freeman was elected, he appointed Shelton his county as county deputy coroner.
And that was after he was fired for posting after those things on Facebook?
Well, he resigned, but oh. Yeah. I mean, they probably would have fired him if he didn't resign. Yeah. That's kind of how that goes. So, Mike Christian, lead investigator on this case, sent private details about the case to multiple women that he was cheating on his wife with.
Are you... Sorry,
bold of you to think these women care enough about you not to rat you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's not evidence. Allegedly, he sent photos of the crime scene to these women as well. One woman seriously.
Some of the few that were taken.
Yeah. Well, like, no, that this lady
was personal photos
this lady
that he took?
Claimed, which. It's a claim. It's not. There's no evidence, but she said it. That's all I'm saying is that she was on the phone with him when he got dispatched to the call. And while he was there, he was just snapping her photos, like taking pictures and sending him photos of her dead body on the ground.
Ew.
Yeah. And it's like, what are you?
What?
You think that's going to turn her on?
You're like, hey, baby girl, you want to see some photos of a dead body?
Another girl said that he had offhandedly like given her details of the toxicology report and other things like that that were not like details of the investigation that normal people were not supposed to know.
Makes
it was
you
an
think of like things that he's shared with people that people didn't come forward about, because I'm sure that wasn't the only case. If like obviously those were allegations, but like if that was true, like the other things he's probably shared about private cases to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so careless. I'm like, geez, dude, you're not very smart. An ex of his said that he had told her he believed that Tamala's death was an accident, but that he didn't think that she fell, which is not what he reported.
Nice.
When he was accused about all these things by these women, he, of course, blamed the women he was having an affair with for creating false allegations because she was hurt and angry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and he was basically like, I regret quitting. He was like, dude, fuck you. You literally suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was basically like, boo-hoo, woe is me. And it's like, girly
no,
I just don't get it. So also when he was questioning party guests, he basically like he basically let them lead the
just like what do you want to tell me.
At the end he literally was like, so is there anything else you like that I didn't think of that you could think you would want to tell me? And it's like, no dude, like, you're supposed to conclude the interview when you have asked all the specific questions that you have planned.
They're like, are you asking me how you're supposed to do your job?
Yeah, and most of his questions were about how much she had drank, how much she had smoked, was she doing drugs, all those types of things that are very victim blaming,
pointing to,
and
like,
it's like, okay, even if she did all those things, which she did,
yeah, they all did,
that doesn't mean that she just flipped off the balcony.
Yeah. No.
And why the fuck would she have all these defensive wounds if she just fell off the balcony? That literally does not make actual logical sense.
Yeah, because they can tell the difference in wounds between defensive wounds.
This happened in 2018.
Yeah, there's good forensic science for this stuff now. Yeah. That sounds very smart boy of me. There's good science for this. But
there's
no,
good
there
science.
Is. Like,
yeah, no.
They can tell the difference between defensive wounds and wounds of falling off a balcony.
Right. Yeah. So, although the amount of Xanax in her system was very, very small, this did have to be taken into account, obviously. And the source of the Xanax was not obvious, unlike the weed and the booze, both of which Tamla had brought for herself and was, like, openly partaking in
and sharing. Yeah.
There was one woman at the party that had a prescription, but this person denies sharing it with anyone. Although this was proven to be false, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation found text messages between this guest and another guest of the party from the morning after, where they had made plans to meet up so she could give her friend more Xanax.
So, yeah.
And I'm like,
that sounds like, figured it out.
What?
Like,
you're stupid. But she adamantly denies giving any to Tamla, saying that she only gave some to her other friend because she knew her super well, and that she would never have given it to Tamla because she knew that she was drinking. I'm like,
you were all drinking. Yeah.
Okay. Go off. I don't know. Obviously, Xanax mixed with alcohol could definitely, make the effects worse.
Yes. Yeah.
But it was a very small amount. And that whole thing's just weird. It's like, where'd she? Okay. Interesting. I would have to make this story a lot longer to talk about all of the contradicting and weird details brought up during the interviews with the party guests. How suspicious most of these people made themselves look. Like, Stephanie Meyer, Stephanie Meyer.
I was like,
her last
God,
name is Meyer. Jean Meyer.
The author of Twilight was
Stephanie
in attendance.
Stephanie Meyer showed up. It was fucking crazy. No, Jean literally said something in her interview, basically to the degree of, like, Tamla never made it to bed.
So, like, you noticed.
And then she, like, backtracked and made something like, oh, well, like, no, she never messed up the bed, like it wasn't messed up or something weird like that. Just a lot of stuff in their interviews of, like, backtracking and, like, just saying things that did not line up with everyone. Super weird.
Yeah, that's
so yeah, I don't know. Everyone, they couldn't get their stories straight. Also, this house had security cameras, and they just so happened to not be working.
Okay, that sounds like one of the most
they weren't recording
sus
that night.
Of the
but I'm like,
details.
But you still had the ones on that say when the doors open, but not the video?
That sounds
interesting.
Incredibly purposeful.
Sounds pre-planned. Sweaty?
Yeah, sweaty. That sounds like that was on purpose.
What is going? I just wrote in all caps. I was clearly getting very frustrated. What is going on here? Why did she have defensive wounds? This woman did not fall. She fucking did not. I mean, like, if she fell, it was not. She did not just fall over
no.
that thing. She did not.
I did not hit her. I did not.
Also, sorry, that quote. Investigator literally was like, I don't think she died from the fall.
It's yeah, like, it's like, okay, so maybe you should do some investigating.
Also, the shit he said to those women, you can, there's like pictures of this, of the Snapchats.
That
there's
he
like
sent
a picture of
to the girls he was cheating with.
Yeah. And it's literally like him, like, well, I want to say reenacting, but like saying, okay, I'm just going to read it to you because it's right here. This is what he said. There's no message from the other lady, but it's just a Snapchat message.
Also,
that says,
wait, adults use Snapchat? Well, I mean,
yeah.
We're adults, but like,
I'm like, how
older
old
people?
Are these people? What the fuck?
Weird.
Anyway, he said,
sorry.
Hello, sir. I know we've never met, but I'm here to tell you that your wife and the mother of your 6 children is dead. Oh, yes, I'm happy to report that she was really, really drunk, trip landed face down in the yard, and either through hypothermia, positional asphyxia, or aspiration, died on her own puke. Not sure which one. I know you have fun memories. Enjoy corralling these 6 boys who are now going apeshit. Blah,
so
blah,
he
blah.
Said that essentially reenacting the way that he had to tell her husband. But he was messaging the girls
yeah.
that he was seeing.
And then he also said in another message, Greeting from racist cracker bastard murder covering up land. How are you? It's a nice rainy day, good for digging shallow graves by the roadside. Graves with a capital G, and I read that Graves was the last name of one of Tamala's friends slash somebody who was advocating for this case and like making a lot of noise in the case. So that was a super fucking weird detail. And of course he was just like, oh, this was just me saying some shit and like, yeah, it's in poor taste, but like I didn't mean anything by it. And it's like, bro,
no, it obviously sounds like you thought about this.
I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then the message above that one is literally him saying something very sexual to the girl. It's like, what
it's
the
like,
fuck
yes,
is wrong with
you? Yes, should say those things in succession.
Yeah. I don't even
That's
know.
So fucking gross.
Yeah. Anyway. So I'm just sad because this whole thing was a fucking shit show and they obviously did not value this woman's life at all. In 2019, Jose Barrera, Jean's boyfriend, was fired from his job as the pretrial lawyer due to the fact that he had used his position to look up things, like look up documents regarding the case.
That sounds
That's
a little
like,
suspicious.
You can't do that.
Yeah, as a lawyer, you should know that.
Or officer, I don't know, but that like that
oh,
is
I thought
abuse
you said
of power.
Lawyer.
I said pretrial lawyer. He's a pretrial officer of
oh,
some
oh,
kind.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
But anyway,
no, but still,
that was an abuse of power.
You would know that that is well
and
outside
he was
of
fired
what you
for
should
it.
Be doing.
So
yeah.
Obviously, it was bad. If these guys are firing him, then it must be bad,
right?
No, nah, they're just trying to cover their asses
well,
at
yes,
this point.
Accurate.
Clearly. Allegedly, he also tried to leak information about a friend of Tamala's, Ashlyn Harris, who had been outspoken about her suspicions of the party guests.
Ah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
And several of said party guests filed a lawsuit against her, citing defamation due her statements that she had made, which, guys...
Guys, you're
Maybe
just making
so
yourself
sus.
Look a little more guilty.
So, unfortunately, no arrests or charges have been made in this case.
In 6 years.
Yeah. Her husband recently spoke out, semi-recently. And basically, he said, bottom line, this is a cover-up.
Yeah.
Like, if they didn't murder her, if it was an accident... They're still covering it up. That
yeah.
is glaringly obvious.
Yeah. Seems like it from even the... Like, obviously, I know there's a lot of evidence and different things in, like, interviews that you didn't go into. But even from what you were able to go
no,
into,
there was
sounds
a
very cover-up-esque.
Lot. Yeah. Yeah. Super, super weird. I don't know. I just feel like... I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this case. Of course, I listen to a lot of true crime podcasts and stuff like that. So I've heard about it more, but I know that this case is not nearly
Getting
known as it should be. And it's fucking ridiculous that this is just basically a closed case. And they're like, yeah, it's, you know, it was an accident. It's just whatever. And it's like, no, no, there's so much evidence to show that it wasn't.
Yeah.
So,
it's like, so you should do your job, look at the evidence, and investigate, because you're an investigator.
Yeah.
So you should investigate.
So the more we talk about these kinds of cases, I mean, A, we want to make sure that we're always, you know, remembering these victims, because this is the most ridiculous, like, unwarranted thing I've ever heard of. Like, what was the actual reason?
No.
So... Yeah, and the more, you know, we bring this up and make sure that people know that there are many police departments that are still doing stuff like this. This was 2018.
Yeah, that was
the last thing
that
happened
ago.
In this case was 2019. Like, this is not old news.
Yeah.
So.
Completely.
Rest in peace, and I hope her family has found some kind of peace.
Yeah.
Or they will someday.
Yeah. No, I hope for the best in the case in the future.
I'm sorry that's a just a downright bummer today, but...
No, but it's good to, like, you know, get the names out. Remember her. Like you were saying, remember.
In that case, like, I think about that case all the time. It's very, I don't know, it's just so messed up. And I'll post pictures, because you can see these pictures of her where she's just in her PJs laughing with her friends. Her, quote, friends. Yeah. It's not.
That's so sad. It's not right.
And she had fucking six kids.
Yeah.
And a grandbaby on the way that she never got to meet.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah. And everyone basically was like, she was just like, it's always those people that are just like the brightest, happiest, most loving
people.
Like
you said, literally multiple people were like, she was the life of the party.
Yeah. And she still, like, you know, makes her family dinner before she goes. And
yeah.
She fucking brings over her cute little PJs to hang out in.
Yeah.
And all her... Yeah. Anyway, that's all I'll say on that. But rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah. All right. Well.
Bring us up a little bit.
I feel like with my stories recently that we're becoming more of a history podcast.
I mean, I'm all here for it.
Yeah. No, I love it. I've been learning a lot, which is great. I'm very into it. But today we're going to be taking it back to the 50s, talking about segregation and Jim Crow laws. So, obviously, that is a subject that has a lot of sadness and turmoil, but I promise that there are, like, obviously, like...
There's some badass bitches!
There's some badass bitches in my story.
I was reading about so many badass bitches, like in the civil rights movement today. Cause
send me some links.
I'm like just looking for so many ideas for my future stories, and I'm like, there's
a lot.
There's a lot of really cool and like stuff that's you hear all these stories that you think it's like the first person to blah blah blah, but there was actually somebody that was the first that nobody knows about.
Exactly.
That's the type of shit I love learning about.
Right.
Anyway, I'll stop interrupting you because you haven't even started yet.
Nope, you are all good. So yeah, like I said, today we're taking it back to the 50s. I'm going to be talking about Barbara Johns and the major role that she played in the desegregation of public schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Barbara Johns was born on March 6th, 1935 in New York City. When Barbara was young, her and her family moved to a town called Farmville, a rural community in Prince Edward County, Virginia, which I thought that was kind of funny, like Farmville, like that Facebook game. but yeah, dumb fact. But they moved to Barbara's grandmother's farm, where they all lived and worked while Barbara's mom was in D.C. working for the U.S. Navy. Barbara and her siblings enjoyed visits from her uncle. He was an outspoken activist in the civil rights movement and would often ask the kids questions about black history, making sure that they were receiving a comprehensive education about their people. This grew in Barbara a spark of the fire that would lead her to become someone very important in the civil rights movement. So let's do a little bit of backstory and learn about the Jim Crow laws and separate but equal and what it means for the people or people of color at that time. I should hope that people would know what the Jim Crow laws are and separate but equal. Well, we're going to get into it.
Get to knowing is all I'm saying.
Get to knowing. I'm like, I literally have written here, I said, I should hope most people have already learned about this in school, but I don't really trust the public school system, so we're going to do a recap. So, Jim Crow laws were any state or local laws that enforced or legalized racial segregation. They were set in place for almost 100 years, carried from the post-Civil War time till about 1968. A little uncomfortably too close.
Yeah.
These laws got their nickname from a minstrel routine performed by a white man named Thomas Dartmouth Rice. And for those who don't know, a minstrel routine is essentially a racist routine performed predominantly by white actors in blackface. These shows encompassed a lot of tropes of black people that were incredibly offensive and just complete stereotypes of the time. They started gaining popularity in the early 1830s and were a national art form by the late 1840s. Though their popularity eventually died down, shows still continued to be performed in high schools and local theaters until the 1960s.
Ugh.
Yeah, so gross. Thomas Rice performed his minstrel routine, Jump Jim Crow, in the 1830s. In this show, he would put on blackface and a tattered dress and perform a song and dance that he said was inspired by a slave he once saw. This is an incredibly depressing depiction of how white people saw people of color for hundreds of years.
And how some people still see black people.
No, that's kind of like one of the things.
I mean, there was the end of Jim Crow, but then there was new Jim Crow. Shit never ended.
No, exactly. And like, I kind of get into that at the end of this.
God, just the minstrel thing makes me so uncomfortable.
It's horrible. And there were, it was an actual like national art form. Like people
like that
loved
was actually
these
like a
shows.
Big
it wasn't just something that like small local theater people would just like put on shows. Not that would be any better. That would still be fucked up. But no, it was a big thing in the 1800s and going into early to mid 1900s.
I'll still see shit like that when I go to grocery stores, antique stores around us.
Ooh.
And I'm like, get that shit fucking out of here, dude. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, you're like, antique doesn't mean that it's good.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Like, maybe put this in the restricted section or something. I don't know.
Yeah, and then just like, then put it in the trash.
Yeah, the restricted burning gasoline pit anyway. Sorry.
Yeah, that most antique stores have out back. Yeah. The burning gasoline.
Well, it's for the fucking like racist dolls that people.
Yes, exactly.
The incinerator.
Yeah, so the term Jumping Jim Crow or just Jim Crow grew in popularity as a derogatory term for black people as Rice's show grew in popularity. This was not only in a way to point out the color of someone's skin, but also to reduce them to the tropes and stereotypes seen in Rice's incredibly offensive show. Rice's stage name superseded him as it became offensive terminology, and in the 1890s, as laws came into play, like the Separate Car Act, more and more, quote, separate but equal bills were enforced as the years went on. And the Separate Car Act is having to do with, like, train transportation and, like,
mm-hmm.
separate cars for, like, colored people and white people. I put separate but equal in heavy quotations because, as most of us know, these Jim Crow segregation laws were indeed
like,
separate.
If they were fucking equal, then they wouldn't have to be separate. That's the whole goddamn point.
Literally. Yeah. They were definitely separate, but very much not equal. This is where separate water fountains for people came into play, separate restaurants, separate theaters, places places people of color could not sit on the bus, and just overall gave white people an excuse to be racist and cruel. There's literally no reason for that except racism.
We can't have you as slaves anymore, so we'll have you as maids and as...
And just secondary citizens overall.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just keep you in your place.
Yeah. So gross. So with all that said, let's get back to Barbara. So the high school she attended was a black only school and was a perfect example for the inequality of separate but equal. It was actually falling apart. There were cracks in the ceiling large enough that her and her classmates had to use umbrellas inside when it was raining. The toilets barely worked. There was no gym, no cafeteria, no science lab. It was bad. And then also, the school was only built to hold 180 students, but there were 450 students enrolled. So the classrooms were incredibly overcrowded. So that's like...
So unsafe.
Basically,
oh my God.
I think that's close to two and a half to three times the amount of kids that should have been there.
So not only are they getting like not anything close to the education of the white kids, but they're having to have umbrellas in the class and also have like extremely dangerous amounts of kids at the school. I mean, like, that's fire safety.
And get this, it was so overcrowded that some of the classes were held in rundown buses in the parking lot or shacks in the schoolyard made out of wood and paper.
Wow.
Yeah. So a little bit more than just like a dingy school. It was like barely a building. And yeah. So the parents of the students were consistently told by the school board when they complained about the conditions their children were being schooled in, that the new school would be built soon. This obviously was not happening.
Yeah, we've heard it before.
Yeah. So these conditions of her school enraged Barbara. She was very studious, and it made her angry that her and her classmates had to learn in such a second-rate building in overcrowded and just overall terrible conditions.
Yeah.
In 1951, when Barbara was 16, she came up with an idea to create change. Barbara wanted to stage a walkout. This required a bit of sneaky planning. Barbara and a few other trusted students came up with their plan to make this walkout happen. On April 23rd, 1951, a classmate of Barbara's called the principal from a payphone, disguising his voice and informing him that some of the kids from the school had been loitering downtown and were being stopped by the police. The principal immediately shot into action and hopped into his car to take care of the situation. He knew how bad it could turn out for black high school students to be stopped by the police at the time.
Yeah.
He was like, gonna get right over there. Barbara, meanwhile, was handing out notes she had written and signed with the principal's initials. This note stated there was an assembly being held that they were all to attend. When the students had gathered, the curtains were pulled back, and all of them were surprised to see Barbara standing behind it. She addressed her fellow students and went on to talk about the conditions they were forced to attend school in and how difficult of an environment that it was to learn in. She posed the question, "Are we just going to accept these conditions, or are we going to do something?" This speech sparked hope in the entirety of the student body for a better future, and they all rose and walked out in a peaceful protest. Though there was some ridicule from local newspapers claiming that this was just a case of students looking for an excuse to get out of school, that did not deter Barbara. I'm like, seriously? You're just like, oh yeah, these kids are just like not wanting to go to school. I mean, I wouldn't blame them for not wanting to go to school in a literal crumbling building, well, but that wasn't even the point. I mean, that was the point, was that they didn't want to go to school in a crumbling building, not just that they wanted to skip school.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because it's like, in a way, you're right.
In a way, you're right. Yeah, they don't want to go to school in that building because it's basically going to collapse in on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbara made a call to the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, or the NAACP, and convinced two lawyers to come out to Farmville. There was an agreement made that the lawyers would help them if they demanded school integration and if their if they had their parents' support. Barbara gave another speech, which had most of the black community of Farmville in attendance. This received the same sort of enthusiastic response as her speech at the high school and ended by the crowd singing, crying, and cheering in support.
Hell yeah, we like, love an inspirational speech.
Exactly, and it sounds like she's, she was only 16 at the time, and
also,
she knew what was up.
I like her little sneaky nature to pull off this ruse.
I thought that, I was like, I like that whole, like, just...
Oh, it's great vibes.
Yeah, that would be a great, storyline for, like, a TV show.
I feel like that's such a classic, like... You know, high school kids are like, yeah, we got to make a change, but the adults won't let us.
Exactly.
So we got to
take it into our own hands.
And then they, like, trick the dumbass principal into leaving, and he immediately does it. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Which also principal with a sweetheart. So
yeah,
not
true.
Dumbass
not dumbass.
Principal.
I'm sorry. He honestly.
Yeah.
Good on him.
No, exactly. Because, I mean, like, especially at
that
time, he could get into trouble, too, by trying to help them. Not a dumbass person.
No, but it is the ruse vibes.
Yes, yeah, a nice high school ruse.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the support of basically the whole black community of Farmville, the lawyers from the NAACP filed their lawsuit in an attempt to integrate the black-only schools with the white-only schools. This, unfortunately, caught the attention of the Ku Klux Klan. Barbara began receiving death threats, was harassed, and they even placed a burning cross in her yard. They were pretty adamant on this not happening. So Barbara's parents,
the KKK's not known to do stuff like that.
No, they don't ever overreact. What are you talking
about?
Yeah,
and they never get mad about, you know, black people wanting freedom.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, literally fuck that. But so Barbara's parents became incredibly concerned with her about her safety and sent her to live with relatives of theirs in Alabama. It wasn't until 3 years later, much to Barbara's surprise, the lawsuit filed by the NAACP lawyers made it all the way to the Supreme Court. As luck would have it, on May 17th, 1954, the Supreme Court voted unanimously 9-0 in favor of Barbara's lawsuit and declared segregated public schools unconstitutional.
Hell yeah.
Right? So, yeah. It's crazy how much just the voice of a 16-year-old can change.
I feel like the voice of a 16-year-old can do a lot.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. And so, unfortunately, this was not left without a hitch. It sent white people all over the country into a frenzy, as white people tend to do. And Barbara's family home was burned to the ground after this was enacted. So, unfortunately, in the same vein of, the stories that you were telling.
It's honestly really hard to find stories that don't have an element of that when we're talking about this kind of stuff, which is fucked up. But
no, exactly.
You know.
But obviously something very good came out of this.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I mean, whew.
Yeah. And yeah, Barbara left a very lasting impact on this country and changed the lives of colored people forever, finally allowing
also, I feel
them
like
to
it's
attend
weird to say colored people.
Or yeah, sorry, people of color. Or
yeah, people of color.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, finally allowing people of color to attend schools with proper facilities and education like they should have been able to.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to attend school in a rundown bus.
Yeah.
Or a shack made of paper.
Exactly. Yeah, that's no. So obviously this didn't just happen overnight, and a lot of white people, I'm sure, did not want to go down without a fight. But it's people like Barbara that get things done in order to enact change, despite whether they think they'll actually be able to achieve it or not. We've still got a long way in the fight against racism, even nearly 50 years after rulings like this that deem segregation unconstitutional. But stories like this inspire me in the hopes of a better future for our country. People need to wake up to the fact that just because it's better than it was 50 years ago doesn't mean that we don't still have more progress to go.
50 years is not a long time, you guys.
No. I mean, it's not a long time, and it is a long time. You would hope that we'd be a little further down the road by now. Yeah.
You would hope.
I've had a lot of conversations with people where they're like, oh, but, things are so much better than during the time
of
Jim
Crow
laws.
Oh, yeah. People legit think that because there's not slavery,
that things are just fine.
Traditional slavery.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But now we have the prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
So.
No, exactly.
It's look around you. Yeah. No, it's alive and well.
Yeah.
And people just know how to disguise it better now.
I was talking to someone the other day about the thing that happened in Georgia. I believe it was last year or the year before, where they were smuggling people over the border and essentially keeping them in enslavement and paying them 3 cents a bucket to pull up onions and keeping them in terrible conditions. And just literal modern day slavery.
Yep.
And so it is alive and well in multiple different ways and is just as fucked up as it's always been.
I mean, there's thankfully, there's a lot of people who are working on changing this shit. I mean, it's slow change, but at least it's...
No, exactly.
I mean,
and I don't
want
to, like,
be
at
here. No, I mean,
I don't
like,
want to end my story with everything's terrible. No, there are a lot of people.
No, I just
want to
be realistic and, you know, say that I don't want to act like this is a thing of the past because it's not.
Exactly.
But I also don't want to be a complete downer because there's lots of good history and people that have done amazing things and been super brave, like
and
Barbara.
And people that continue to do amazing things.
Yeah.
And there are people.
And
there
there's
are
a lot more allies
Barbaras.
And,
yeah.
you know.
Exactly.
Less and less shitty white people. But, you know, it takes.
It takes time.
It
and
takes time.
Like I was saying at the beginning, caring about one another brings you happiness. Or being kind to one another brings you happiness. So...
Yes,
so
don't
be
fucking racist.
Don't be fucking racist and be kind to everybody and yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a much better note to end things on. Be kind to everybody and yourself. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that is the end of my story. And this is the end
Hit
of the episode.
Hit us up.
Hit us
if
up.
If you want to suggest a story or give us any feedback, you can DM us on Instagram and also follow us on Instagram at yikesthatsamazing.
And you can send us an email at our email, yikesthatsamazingpodcast@gmail.com. Send us a personal story of yours, suggest stories, or if you just have something you want to say, you know?
Yeah, you want to say, hey guys, what's up?
Hello. Feel free.
We would love it. Honestly, it's like getting mail, but
exactly.
it's an email.
Yeah.
It's still fun, though.
Oh, my gosh. Is that what email is? It's like mail, but the
Oh,
e-
my God.
Version?
When was the last time you got an email that was like a fun email?
Never.
Yeah, exactly.
Emails aren't as much
Dude,
fun.
Dude, throwback to the fucking... This is a good note to end on.
Yeah.
When I first got my email, and like it was before I had a phone, and I could like... you know, kind of text my friends,
Same,
basically.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Those
best
were
days,
the
of
days
of my life. I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah, I think I got my first email at like 10 years old.
Yeah.
And I
oh,
was
my God.
Like,
so
this is the future.
Cute. This is the future.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That was pretty amazing. That's
that is
much better.
So unrelated. Anyway.
That's okay.
All right.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.